The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Happy New Year to all of you on the East Coast or Midwest, and Happy New Year's Eve to those here on the West Coast. You're tuned in to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. My name is Eric Stanton. I am here in studio with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy. Actually, we got another guest here, Mr. Brandon, who's standing in for us this evening, or with us this evening. In just a minute, I'll introduce you to the rest of the teammates on the show, but let me give you the number for those of you to start calling in with your open and honest questions that we intend to answer from the biblical perspective. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. Or as I always say, if it makes it easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. Now, as I promised, let me introduce you to one of the other teammates on the show, Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, what's up with you this evening on this New Year's Eve?
Oh, I'm here.
Wake up.
I always wanted to do that to open the show, man.
You just did it, brother. Well, got it out of your system, right?
Got it out of my system for the new year. There you go.
Amen.
Hey, Eric, no, I'm doing well, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Looking forward to a new year.
Yeah, man. It's interesting time. It's interesting time. But why don't we do this? I was just thinking about the whole reason why we even pray and pray to God, pray for situations and things like that. So I'm going to pray to God for a situation about this broadcast that it might be seamless and honoring to him. So please, if everyone would go to the throne with me, I appreciate that. Father God, you told us to come to you. You told us to make our petitions known. You told us to pray unceasingly. That means not that we just talk nonstop to you, Father God, but the coming to you is a pleasure, is a privilege, is something that we should count it so dear. So, Lord, in keeping that in mind, we come to you. I come to you on behalf of everyone that may be listening to the broadcast, everyone on the team, that we might do this broadcast and dedicate the time that we have done so week in and week out, that you found it in your pleasure to keep us alive to do so up to this point, and we thank you for that. And we want to honor you. So, Lord, how can we honor you? By coming to you with the truth about what you gave us to answer questions for the people that will participate. Help us to answer those questions, thus saith you. Help us to do so not only in our own mind and in the things that we've studied and learned over the years, Father God, but by your Spirit. Can you please just take away any and all distractions that may be going on in our individual minds, whether people are listening in, calling in, and participating that way, or whether it's the staff here. For everyone, Lord, help us all to have a mind that is focused on you for the next couple of hours. That's the least we can do to bring into the new year. And I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the honor. And it is by Jesus' matchless and priceless name we pray. Amen. Okay, Eric, I want to, without further ado, just bring on Professor Craig Hawkins, our other teammate, and I'm going to give him a privilege of coming on the air with us and join us right now by means of PCH. How you doing?
Well, telephonically.
See, I'm giving out him. See, I teed that up so nice, man. You hit a 300-yard drive down the middle. That's a point in my game. Good job, I've Craig.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir. What's your question?
Did you get your wings?
Wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand the question, first of all. My wings, meaning what? Is this a metaphor?
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That's a wonderful life. I tell you, you've got a pretty humble bucket list.
Yes, sir. I sure do. Anyway, PCH, man, it's good hearing from you. I sincerely mean it. It is a privilege, man, to be able to do what we've been doing and with the teammates here and the listening audience being part of the team to be able to actually learn some things about what our Lord would have us to know through the questions that people participate in. So let me do this. Let me give the phone number Eric gave and other ways that they can chime in, and then we can get right into the broadcast and, let's see how the Lord, which way he takes us. So that number that Eric gave, and like Craig said, that famous word that Craig just used telephonically, you can call in at 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. So if you want to write that number down and get ready to call in, we call in now. Eric has some open lines. We appreciate you calling. For those that want to go on social media, we have Facebook, we have Messenger, we have Twitter, and we have Truth Social. It's the same address, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. If you want to send us a question by those methods, just type in Bible Info Brokers. And while you're on that social media, be sure to click that share button and let people know in your contact list that you're listening to us so they can join in with us live now or maybe an archive show they'll be able to enjoy and listen to in the future. And so another way you can send us a question is by email. That's simply livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. Yes, Oz.
Speaking of social media, yes, Facebook is live, and I checked it this time. It's in the right place.
You know what? I actually checked before we went on, so there's a way I can do that now. So I'm glad that you feel good about that, and it's a good job you do, sir.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should give him another raise, Craig. What do you think? Craig, should we give him another
Happy
raise?
New Year, right? Happy
exactly. New Year. so you can increase your giving, baby. When we give you a raise,
absolutely.
That's the way we can do it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so there's the contact information, guys. You can join us in and give us your question. We want to answer from a biblical perspective and get as many questions as we can for the new year. Let the Lord use you and prayerfully consider what it is that you want to know. PCH, why don't we do this? Is there something else you want to say before I go to the phones?
Yes, there is. I really do. Since this is the last broadcast of this year, it's kind of two-pronged, but I'm not into making New Year's resolutions, but I am periodically to try to reflect on my life and say, okay, Lord, where are we? Where do I need to grow? What do you want me to learn? I mean, there's a lot, obviously, but I mean, what's the big things? What are the most important things? And I was blessed. I want to share something, and I just need to say, people have to listen to the end of it because it'll sound self-serving at first, but they need to listen to let me finish because the first part will sound like it's just we're just patting ourselves on the back. But it really kind of puts life in perspective to me, being in my mid-60s. People know we're involved in what we call training of trainers, where we train pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, Bible translators from Nepal, Bhutan, India, Myanmar, and so on and so forth. And it's an incredible privilege. I've been doing this for over a decade. And at any rate, one of the guys we've trained, his name Ranjit. Ranjit speaks 10, 12 languages, incredibly bright, incredibly dedicated to the Lord. I've done ministry with him in Manipur, where I couldn't really get in there now because there's persecution of Christians. Christians are being killed. Whole villages are being burned. Over 300, almost 400 churches have been destroyed. People can check this out. They can go online and look up under India, Manipur, M-A-N-I-P. P-U-R, and you can see the documentation of what I'm talking about and what's going on. We had mentioned our dear brother Hmong, who's originally from there, was just with us here in the States. He's back home now, and we're planning our next TOT training session coming up in a couple months. I'm actually going to Nepal.
Cambodia.
Cambodia. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Cambodia actually tomorrow night, Lord willing. Be taking off, perhaps Thailand as well, if something comes through there. I've been there before a number of times, but Cambodia as well. But I want to read something from Ranjit. Now, you need to know, Ranjit and his family had to flee for their lives. They had to leave their home, everything, and get out of the state of Manipur because he is a Métis, and the Métis are predominantly far and away Hindu, and they are not Christian, and they pride themselves as a saint. Basically, to be Indian is to be Hindu. And that's how they see this. And Modi and the Iris Party are radically Hindu. And people talk about religions being peaceful. Well, no, they're killing Christians. And this sounds kind of hyped. It sounds kind of surreal. Like, you know, I mean, people are dying for the gospel today. People are being persecuted. Could you imagine? We know we have earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and all this stuff. And we kind of understand that, as tragic as those things can be. But could you imagine, because you're being persecuted, not just getting in trouble at work or not getting a raise or people basically browbeating you verbally, if not otherwise, but fleeing for your life, literally. And that's what Ranjit had to do. He had to leave his hometown in Manipur and flee to another state because they were going to kill him. Because he's a pastor. He's an itinerant pastor. I've gone with him to various churches and shared the gospel. And I know what the brother does, because I've been there, done that. I didn't read some glossy, slick, American-eyes marketing shtick. I've been there, done that ministry with him. And so this is from Ranjit. And again, hear me out, because it sounds self-serving if I just read the first part. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. He's writing to us, Daryl. He says, this is Ranjit to us. I hope this letter finds you well. I am writing to express my deepest gratitude for the incredible support you have provided me during a challenging time in my life. Yeah, challenging, put it mildly, right? Your generous financial assistance has been a lifeline, helping me navigate through difficult circumstances with greater ease. Your kindness and willingness to extend a helping hand has made a significant impact, not only on my current situation, but also on my outlook towards overcoming challenges. He's running for his life. Yeah, that's kind of an understatement, right? He goes on to say, Daryl, I want you to know that your belief in me has inspired renewed hope and determination. I am truly blessed to have someone like you in my life, and I cannot thank you enough for your selflessness and generosity. Once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your kindness will always be remembered, and I am grateful to have you as a beacon of support in my life. Warmest regards, Ranjit. Now, that sounds self-serving, but listen to my response, and I think it says what I want to convey. Dear Brother Ranjit, thank you for your kind comments. However, I cannot take credit for the funds given to you. God's people gave those funds. I'm only a steward of what God himself has provided through his generous people. The credit only goes to God, but yes, as he works through the saints, his people. We can thank them for their kindness, generosity, and obedience to the Lord in giving to his servants, such as you and your family. I'm hoping, wishing, and praying God's best for you and your family. I look forward to seeing you in person again sometime in the future. All the best in Christ. And then sign for our on behalf of the ministry. So Daryl, I want to be careful here. We're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. We have been giving funds financially. We pray, you bet. And the brother lost his house. He lost everything. You know, as James just says, don't say be warm, be filled, and send somebody away. We should have compassion on them. We have so much in America, so much to be thankful for. The brother left everything and had to flee for his life. And so we have supported him financially. Hmong was here, and we gave Hmong some more funds,
yes,
to give to Ranjit. But we're not taking credit for it. But I do want to give credit and thank God's people, this program, who have generously given over the years, who give funds. We talk about supporting the overhead of the ministry, which is minimal, review time, but website, webmaster, and those type of things. But Daryl, the training of trainers. Again, we try to support, you know, Brian's, Alan, a dear brother, went home to be with the Lord, his widow, for her health insurance. And we support missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders, and Bible translators in India, Nepal, and elsewhere. And Cambodia, we're going to be giving some funds to some people who are faithful servants, Navi and Lee Chan in Cambodia. I want to thank God, yes, and I want to thank God's people, the people listening, our listeners, our dear listeners, who have supported, who financially have risen up to the occasion and give generously and allow us to literally give a brother life support. No hype, no. If anything, I'm toning this down. If this was a made for a TV movie, it'd be pretty dramatic. But what Ranjit and his wife and three children have gone through and fleeing because they're Métis, and the Métis are predominantly radical Hindu. And they have no patience for Christians. Again, their motto is to be Indian, to be of Indian descent, is to be Hindu. And there's no place for them to be anything else. And Rajiv has been on the end of that stick, if you will. So this is really just a thank you to God's people and to remind them. And I'm going to say it shamelessly. You know, my wife and I just, we give, you know, to the Lord's work, of course. But we just made three more offerings. We just finished one tonight online. We were able to do that online. And the other ones were sent out earlier. But Daryl, because we put our money where our mouth is. We believe in God's work. We want to support ministries and God's people who are doing that. And I just want to remind people of that, to examine your life and examine your priorities financially, what you do. And are you making a difference for eternity? Are you investing? One last point here. I was listening. I was going into work this week. I had to go in a couple of times, even though our school was shut down and the offices are shut down. I still have access to the building. I get in there and do work. And I was listening to some financial program, and it was about investing your money and about, you know, basically wealth accumulation, but also retirement. And it sounds like some pretty good advice. But it was vital advice for wealth, obtaining wealth, honestly, but then holding on to it, and then for retirement. And I thought, you know, as Christians, are we planning for our retirement? And I don't just mean this one. I mean our ultimate retirement. Someday, it was just going through hearing a sermon today on Ecclesiastes 3 and reminded there's a time for everything, a season for everything. And are we investing in the ultimate season, the ultimate time? Well, we will spend eternity. This is kind of the drop in the bucket, if you will. This is such a little sliver of time compared to eternity. And are we investing in that eternity? And that includes our time, talent, and treasure. And I just really want to challenge people, Daryl. I think of Ranjit and his gracious response to us and what the funds we have given to him. Well, the Lord's given through his people, and we've just been the conduit. That's all we are. The conduit is the stewards. We didn't give the money. It was given through us, but it was given by others. You know, Daryl, I want to challenge people to stop and think and reflect. And tomorrow, watch the football games or do whatever you're going to do, visit with friends, or a lot of you are coming home from something right now or out or on your way, actually, since it's early enough, it's not 12 here yet. But think and reflect sometime soon on your life and the significance and the impact. And God forbid, but if the Lord should call you home tomorrow, how am I going to go for you? Now, salvation, we want to be clear. You don't buy your salvation. You don't get it because you donated funds. Salvation is a gift from God. But everyone who is saved will do good works. Good works flow, are the fruit, and naturally follow from a saving faith. And so I would just want to challenge you, stop and reflect. Where's your life? Where are your priorities? Where's your investment? Are you investing wisely for the retirement? And we want to encourage you to do literally just that. And thank you, those of you who and particularly over the years, but this last year in particular, who made it possible for us to give funds, literally tangible funds, to, among others, not just me, we got a list of missionaries and pastors and Bible translators we're helping to support in many ways, financially as well as teaching them and what have you. But you made it possible for us to give funds to help Ranjit so the guy can live, literally, and have food to eat and pay rent since he's literally out of the state where he lives because he's lost his house and everything else, but he kept his life, that of his family. Mm. You made that possible, God putting that on your heart and your obedience, and we just want to say thank you.
PCH, we didn't talk about this, but I'm glad you brought it up now because I was going to mention something like that towards the end of the broadcast, but I'm glad we're doing it now. But let me give the phone number and information where people can call in. Mm-hmm. Rachel, we got your question. We're going to deal with that. Somehow she got disconnected, but call Eric right now. He has some open lines at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number, but Bible Info Brokers, as far as the social media is concerned, Bible Info Brokers is the address for Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, and also Truth Social for right now. Just send a question by way of those methods. And if you want to email us a question, that address is livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com. PCH, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, man, because I was looking at the over the year about the people that actually give to our ministry. You know who you are, obviously, because you give. But I'm going to tell you, Craig, based upon what the numbers I understand, the people that may be listening or the contact that we have out there, there's no exact number that they have, but there's different ways we can know from Facebook and all those different places how people have an opportunity to listen to us, and it's the world. The world has an opportunity to listen to it. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, there's only 5,000 people in the world that even knows about us, just for an example. Well, I'm going to tell you, out of that 5,000 people, I can honestly say that there is a faithful few out those 5,000 people that may listen to us over the year that consistently give and have done everything you said and has kept us afloat, more than afloat, as far as making sure everything is paid for in time. And again, we don't have big overhead like you said, but still, it takes a significant amount of money to take care of all the things that you had mentioned. And the faithful few, and you know who you are, you've done it, and I want to praise God for you. I want to thank you for it. You know who you are. More importantly, God knows who you are. And for the rest of the part of 5,000, as my example, who have not given or have not considered or always wanted to say they're going to give, I have a friend of mine that, and I won't say his name, you know, he won't be embarrassed, but he told me this. He said, man, I've been listening to you guys before Craig was even on. And I have never given. I keep on going to give. Now, think about that, Craig. That's 25 years of keep on keeping on, huh? At least 25 years. So you know who you are. And I expected he wanted to give me the check. I said, no. You need to get in a good habit. You send it in. You send it in however you want to do it. And I started talking about the address, everything in his presence. And we had a good joke out of that. You know, P.O. Box 904. That type of thing. I said, no. Don't give me the check. You discipline yourself. So folks out there that's listening, and you've been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, and you believe in what we're doing, you trust the Lord that he's going to bless this ministry as you continue to do, I'm going to ask that you continue. The very least is to pray for us, and the very most to pray for us, because the faithful few, Craig, financially has been sustaining this ministry for all these years. All these years, man.
Yeah, Daryl, and I hear you, and we want to say thank you to them. And of course we do value. There's some people we know, or there's like single moms and others who are very fixed incomes who just can't give financially. Mm-hmm. And we say, that's why we say, first and foremost, we covet your prayers. We really do. Like, for example, literally tomorrow night, I should be on a plane or just taking off from LAX, going to Cambodia and Thailand. And so you can pray for the ministry.
Yes.
You can pray for what we do. I mean, I know it sounds like grandstanding, but I'm going to say it again, and we're not putting down other ministries at all, because there's a place for what I'm going to say. But look, we don't have a building. We don't have a brick-and-mortar site. We're not paying a mortgage. We don't have any salaries. Well, we pay the webmaster, and rightly so, because he's not part – he has the technical skills and abilities to update and keep our website updated, but he's not strictly an employee. He's what we'd call a contract employee, if you will. But there's nobody on the payroll. I mean, yeah, that's my idea of low overhead, Daryl. You know, 'cause it sounds like, well, yeah, you know, you guys try to be frugal. Oh yeah, you can say that. So, you know, Daryl, and I'll never forget, of all the things I've ever heard, and there's been some really gracious people and some funny and heartwarming comments of their giving, and I think when my son was murdered, people who gave financially, who were very gracious. Some of them I still owe a letter of thank you, believe it or not, 4 years later. Wow. But I'll never forget one time when a lady had called in. She goes, yeah, we're finally going to give. My husband finally got off his wallet.
I remember that. That's your favorite one.
That was the best one I ever heard. Yeah.
Well, I like the guy.
Wallet.
Oh, no, I like the guy that called in one time and said, hey, I don't have anything to give. I mean, he didn't say it like that. He said, do I have to give any money to ask a question? I was so tempted to be joking with him, but I said, man, preciously, no, brother. But you're only going to get one. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. But I'll just remember things like that. And a guy, and you know who you are, that gives $2 per week consistently for the last 20-plus years, Craig. Man, it's not the amount, man. It's because God knows, and you know your situation, it's the heart of the matter. It's the heart of the matter. And
and I think of Brian's dad used to say, you know, the raindrops make the storm, right?
Yes, sir. And he also used to say, I'll say this to him, but he's passed away as well. He used to say, hey, look, you got anybody to count your money for you, let me know. He's pretty good at numbers. And he used to be actually a speechwriter for one of the presidents of the United States.
Well, yeah, but of course I can't. Well, I'm sorry. What did Brian's mom, Lord bless her?
She's Mama Rose. That's my cookie lady. That's my cookie lady, Mama Rose.
What did she used to call you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Do you remember?
Dizzy D.
But Craig, only she can say that. Why are you trying to take her line? That's plagiarism, brother.
Oh, no. I'm just quoting her.
Oh, you're that quoting guy. Okay, I got you. I see what's happening now. And you know what? We enjoyed so many cookies together. I'm going to send you a picture, a video of the last video she took sharing a cookie with a human being before she went on home to be with the Lord. Guess who that was? That's right. Old Dizzy himself went to see her when she was at the nursing home, and we shared this cookie, man. And Brian, I think Ari may still have it as well, but I'm going to send it out to you guys as my gift to you guys to remember, all cookies stop here. All cookies stop here. Anyway, thanks, Craig, for reminding me of Mama Rose. Anyway, folks, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Craig, let me say one more thing about giving, because this whole ministry, this, you know, like my golf ministry and thing, I'm getting ready to launch my my perfect scoring system next month, actually launching it and getting websites and apps together and stuff like this. I'm just going to give people some stats about golf. Would be the last thing in the world I thought I'd ever be doing in life, because, you know, I referee sports, but golf was not even when I played. But it seemed like when I asked the Lord to help me do something in our world so that ministries can stop having the excuse of not having enough money to do what they need to do. So I said, Lord, if you're going to do it through me, do it. I asked him, I said, give me something that can get some things done, Lord. And Craig, let me just give you two stats on golf. Golf is an $84 billion industry yearly, and in the United States of America, over $25.5 billion is in the golf industry in the U.S. alone. And the system that God has set me up to do, that you cannot have a score, like they have a handicap number that people put in golf that's very prominent around the world, and you cannot... They're trying to standardize that handicap system. Well, I'm trying to standardize the perfect score in golf. And those two things working together, Craig, I believe that God's going to open the door. But mine is going to be emphasis upon you must have three nonprofits that you care about, because I truly believe that golf is, if God was going to make a game for man, He created golf, because it's the most humbling sport, and I think that you kind of know that, Craig. It's the most humbling sport that an individual can play, and you're not competing against another person per se, but you're going against that golf course. And the worst thought you should have about your opponent that you're playing against, as it were, is neutral, because there's no defense being played, and you must marshal yourself. So, Craig, you know, I know you love football. So just imagine a football go out of bounds. And what does the both players on each team do? And they may know who hit the ball out of bounds or whatever. Or in basketball, what do? They point in their own direction. I've never seen somebody just say, other than a commercial, oh, that was out on Craig. So give it, so give it to Craig. And that's my team. That doesn't happen. Golf, it happens. That's what it's supposed to be. So that's God's game, in my opinion, and you'll be part of my book when I write about it, The Apologetics of Golf. Anyway, that's enough of that stuff. Let's call Eric, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number, and Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, and Truth Social, Bible Info Brokers, if you want to participate in the broadcast. And also send us an email question at livebyword@aol.com. You know, Craig, maybe also, if folks, if you want to call in with a brief comment about what the ministry meant to you, we also take those calls as well. You may not have a question, but if you want to just make a very brief comment, less than 54 seconds, and that's even too long, 27 seconds of a front nine. 27-second most for everybody. We're going to have the little bell here to cut you off. But we appreciate you doing that as well. But, Craig, so as people are deciding to call in or not, I do have something I want to bring up that's pretty serious. So I hope you're ready for it. Remember last week I had a little something-something for you? Well, this week I think I have something else, and maybe you can help me out in understanding this. Because when you mention about persecution of Christians, I happened to look at a documentary before I came here about a few years ago when Muslim people in the Republic of the Congo, they were going at it. And I was trying to understand why was Christians killing Muslims and Muslims killing Christians and trying to figure out what the whole argument is. So before I get to my question, PCA, do you have any knowledge about the fights against Christians and Muslims in like the Republic of the Congo and Africa or anything like that around the world?
Well, yes, I do. And interesting, this is again unrehearsed. It's kind of funny you ask me this. I was, you know, I'm prepping. I always like to update and review my notes and my teaching that I'm going to be doing, taking students with me to Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a background of Cambodia and the region and what influences, why they do what they do. How can human trafficking be so prevalent, particularly young, little boys and little girls? How does this happen? It doesn't just happen, you know, in a vacuum. There's reasons. And it's interesting, there is what's called the 1040 window. That's the term's been used, 1040 window. And I believe, get my geography straight here, the latitude is the 1040 window, and that would include much of Asia, Southeast Asia, but also Africa. But what's interesting, in this area around the world, there are three dominant worldviews, besides atheism, there's three dominant worldviews. And they are Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. And what's interesting, Daryl, that is a fact. Someone can look at the 1040. You can just go look at the 1040, type in on your search 1040 window or anything like that, and this will come up, and it'll probably give you a map and then some information. There's a Christian group called the Joshua Project, for example, and they have a lot of data that goes with this. But you can, any secular site, to just simply put the 1040 window. But here's the point, Daryl, and to your question, this is where the majority of persecution goes on. And the 1040 window, interestingly, with Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam, the vast majority of slavery, human trafficking, and religious persecution is in the 1040 window, where Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam are the dominant worldviews.
Mm.
So, I mean, you can say I'm a bigot, whatever you want. It's a fact. It's just a fact. Go look it up. Go look at the nations and the places where slavery is the most prevalent in the world, such as in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the 1040 window where the dominating worldviews are Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, not Christianity. And so why is that? Darryl, one more time. That's a fact-based statement. People can dispute it. They can say, I don't like it, or whatever, but it's reality. And so why is that? It's the place, by the way, as well, my last point here, Darryl, to get back to yours, is that where Christianity thrives the least, where there are many what we call underreached or unre groups who've never hardly heard the gospel, very little input, or have never heard it in these areas. Christianity has the least influence, and these areas have the highest per capita percentage of trafficking, human rights violations, and so on and so forth. They're not just slavery. Well, I'll just leave it at that. What's up with that, Darryl?
Well, you know, let me say what's up with that, because as soon as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how if the absence of Christianity and what the Bible teaches, you know, being the foundation of our Christian belief, and you think about the idea what the Bible talks about as far as God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's almost like some kind of way, like even in the prayer, I was just thinking about when I was praying to God today on behalf of us, I was just thinking about how does God, I mean, by his spirit, I don't know how it works, because I don't even understand how electricity works, so I still use it. But the idea is that however God does or does not, like, you know, give them over to reprobate mind. Help me understand what that means, PCH, from a standpoint of the Bible, because it seems to me that that has to be what's going on, that if you have suppressed the truth about God, and we're believing that the Bible is the one that talks about the truth about God, and you're not that biblically based country, region, household, individual, then eventually it seemed like God would do it to an individual, that he would do it to a nation.
Yeah, it's interesting that there are many that contend, people who study this, that slavery is as prevalent or more prevalent than it ever has been today. In the 21st century, how can that be? Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. And people often think of Buddhism, oh, it's a peaceful religion. Yeah, go to Myanmar. And see how that works for you. Go to Bhutan. If you're not a Buddhist, try preaching the gospel. You're going to end up kicked out of the country, and at worst doing some jail time, as some of our colleagues got jail time for preaching the gospel. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't agree, that's not my view, and I get that. But when you start putting people in jail, when you start persecuting, beating, killing people, destroying their property, burning down their church buildings, what have you, because you disagree with them, we've got a problem, to put it mildly.
Well, I can simply say there that's not what we're instructed to do about doing our apologetics with gentleness and respect. There's not too much gentleness and respect when you're getting a rape, pillaged, and burnt down with your whole neighborhood and your whole family.
Oh, it's not uncommon for women in some of these countries to get raped.
Yeah.
I mean, think of that. That's despicable to me anytime. Wow. But in the name of a religious view, you have a religious perspective. It allows you to rape women. I mean, talk about messed up. There's something wrong with that.
Well, I'm sure you teach this stuff that people can rationalize anything, bro. They can rationalize, and I'm sure there's a so-called, not legitimate, but a rationale that a human mind can go. I mean, I've worked in the jails in many years and seen some stuff that I don't even want to talk about right now. It's not probably good for the listening audience, lest people want to agree to hear the kind of stuff that I've seen in my little young, almost 70-year-old life. But you know what, Craig? Let me do this. I got a guy that's just about as old as I am that want to come on and deal with a question that we have from a caller that got dropped, Rachel. So, Eric, if you'd be so kind, since you're not answering calls, people haven't called in yet at 888-995-5552. Hopefully they won't call while you're giving this question.
Thank you, Darryl. First of all, I want to co-tell on what we've been talking about here.
You want to co-tell? What does that mean?
Well, maybe that's the wrong term. But I want to jump into what you're saying and just ask folks. It may seem like we're spending an inordinate amount of time on asking for some donations from you, but the work that's being done when Professor Hawkins goes over there, we can't count we can't put into, I guess, specifically put in words what the impact it has. And We joke around about maybe giving me a raise or anything like that, but we do not get paid here. We actually pay for the airtime we have here. And this is just something that is so important. It is doing God's work that we're asking for your help in.
Indeed, Eric. And I want to tell you, Eric, personally, and in front of all the listening audience and PCH as well, your raise, and when you get your raise and you give to the ministry, and then we just multiply that each time we give you a raise, I appreciate the fact that you do it by zeal. You know, I really appreciate you because, you know, just because I said it, I thought, oh, he's not going to do it by zeal. And you did. And I'm so proud of you. I just want to let the listening audience know that.
Well, I know very well how much you hate those fees, the bank fees. So
yes, sir.
It's very easy to do. But I want to say the only raise I'm really looking for with this whole thing is to be raised up in the presence of the Lord. Once all my work here is done on this earthly plane.
No, you're just missing Brian right now. I can hear it in your voice, man. You're
well, I'm missing always Brian. Missing. And Brian, yeah, that was my best friend.
That was your buddy.
Yes.
Well, all right, do your job.
Okay.
Your buddy will tell you do your job.
So we had a caller, Rochelle, but we lost her, and I promise it wasn't on my end. You know, you like to say that I hang up on people, especially Craig.
Well, Craig knows that.
Craig, he's been uninterrupted for quite a while now. But anyways, Rochelle has a question, and the reason why I want to convey her question is because there was genuine concern in her voice when I was talking to her. Mm-hmm. And her question had to do with the fact that we do have unprecedentedly, if that's a word, unprecedentedly open borders presently. And her concern was that, you know, we are open for attack by maybe not Hamas, but something on that effect. And just wanted to know your opinions on this, gentleman, how you feel about this or how we should feel about the way our borders are so open right now.
You know, and before we give any kind of opinion, Craig, I'm going to push the issue about what does the Bible say about countries and nations having borders? I know kind of God designed things in a certain way, even with, you know, how far the water comes up to the shore. But what about open borders in a sovereign country and a biblical perspective of that?
Well, this is pretty controversial, and godly, intelligent Christians are going to disagree here. I think we ought to be kind to people, and we ought to be as reaching out as much as possible. But I would argue there's legality. I find it interesting. I have a good friend. He's working on his second doctorate. He's been here X amount of years, and he spent thousands of dollars, and he still doesn't have a green card. And we joke with him and say, well, you just need to go outside and come in through one of the borders, and you'll get one. I mean, so it ought to be done legally and right. There are people who've waited, who did it the right way. And it is dangerous because, I mean, people can go to a site and on the Internet look at the numbers of people they have caught who are on the various watch lists and people from how many, 150 countries or something like that they've caught. People from, it's over 100, and I think maybe as high as 150, that's a lot. But a number of them have been terrorists and what have you. And it's not fear-based, but it would be to be wise. I lock my doors, not because I'm a hype, because I have to, because my neighbors have all been broken into. We've just had stuff stolen out of our car. But I've had literally neighbors who have had people, well, I'll leave it at that, serious crimes committed against them. One had a gun put to his head. I mean, so there's a reason. And I'm not accusing all, now I need to be careful. That feels, oh, you're saying all people who come in here even illegally do that. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But there are felons, there are people who have been imprisoned in other countries or whatever, and they just let them out and say, get out of here, basically. And there are, of course, there are good people. There are good people in those as well. But it's a question of legality and order. And I when it comes to the national safety, I mean, I think that we're flirting with disaster and what's going on. And the people that we know have tried to get in or did get in and got caught, let alone the people that we never caught. And the numbers are mind-boggling, are staggering to me. And at some crossings, we have, you know, people, I mean, 100, 2, 3, 4 more coming through a day in just one section. And so, but there are good people. I'm not saying they're all criminals and bad people. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying even good people need to go through the proper channels, like my other friends who have spent years trying to become a citizen of the United States and doing it the right way. Somebody should not be allowed to cut to the front of the line and bypass people who are doing it the right way, the legal way. So even the good people, I would say, are good people, humanly speaking, relatively speaking, need to do it the right way. But there are bad actors. And look at the fentanyl that's coming across the borders. And look at the epidemic we've had of the number of people who've overdosed on fentanyl that's coming through our southern borders. Look at, and let's talk human trafficking. The number of girls who are basically told, your family didn't give us enough money. You need to work this off. You need to pay this off. And they're talking about sexual stuff from the gals. It's a form of trafficking. It's human slavery. And the drug cartels are making millions and millions, if not billions of dollars off of this. And so there's all these complexities to it where clearly, I would argue, this is just an incredible botch and a blight on America. Of even if you say, look, I want to, if someone says, I want to have the most liberal and open border as possible, okay, let's just go with that for a moment. But does that mean that you should be allowed to treat them in trafficking and having women or even little girls exploit them sexually, prostitute them for them to pay? And so many of them are abused, are taken advantage of, are ripped off. And even if one says, I'm really into human rights and take care of these people as humans, yeah, but the form of our borders is allowing these horrific crimes to go on. And who's responsible for that? I'm going to argue up to the highest levels of our government. And everyone who says it's okay, we should keep doing this, you're basically encouraging the cartels and others to keep doing this stuff and trafficking humans and otherwise and take advantage of people. This porous border, in my opinion, and that's all it is, there are going to be godly, intelligent Christians disagreeing with me, as I'm sure there are right now. I'm giving my perspective. I was asked what I think about it. I think it's horrific.
Yeah, I'm just going to say from the standpoint of someone who used to work at the airport and how so many people are out there right now that's overstayed their visa. And interesting that we were given instructions that if they come to you and they want to leave the country and they have overstayed their visa, we basically were taught as are trained as customer service people not to turn them into the police or anything like that, but just to let them go back to their country. You know, get them on a plane and get them out of here, you know, as opposed to, well, they've been here. Some people have been, I mean, I've seen visas overstayed by years, Craig. And so whatever the laws we have on the books and however we're working it, I'm not saying it's not working, but it sure is questionable on how we're getting a plethora of people just breaking the laws. And like you said, your friend has tried to abide by the rules, and it's just not. It's not faring well for those individuals. When you compare it to people just coming over here, like Eric was saying, you can just get a green card instantaneously, you know, just by sneaking in, as it were.
Well, you know, here's a brother in the Lord, and he has three children, but two of them have handicaps, have significant health needs. And basically, if he's from Ethiopia, if he went back there, realistically, it would not go well for his children. Mm. He doesn't have the health care system that they have significant ongoing health issues and probably always will. But the point is, he came here on a student visa and earned a doctorate and actually is very involved in the Lord's work. And he had to apply for another visa, and if he hadn't gotten that, Daryl, he just got it last week, he would have had to be out of the country, yeah, and him and his family by tomorrow.
Wow.
And here's somebody, I mean, a person who works incredibly hard, is a blessing to America, what have you. He's doing it the right way and being penalized. And again, the standing joke is, well, just go outside of the country and come in illegally and you'll be fine.
Sure.
Probably can give you legal counsel. So, I mean, there's something's wrong with that system. Something's wrong with that. It ought to be the same standard for all. Look, I'm for reaching out people. And the Bible has much to say about not taking advantage of,
right,
of foreigners or aliens or people who are not, quote-unquote, indigenous to an area, what have you. to naturalize them, make them citizens. Well, again, we can talk about that. But the prostitution and this trafficking and the drug cartels and the garbage that it, and I don't think about people, but I mean drugs and then the sex trafficking stuff that's going on at our borders that we're allowing by not having closed borders and really monitoring those carefully. I would argue, in my view, it's criminal. It's unethical. It's immoral, and it's criminal. And our government doing this, and it's not like they don't know. I don't buy that. You have to be incredibly dim to not know what's going on and what's happening. And I think there's various reasons they're allowing it. But the point is, wanting what's best for people who want to migrate into this country, let's do it the right way. Let's do it ordered and the proper way and honor those who do it the right way. Again, I have a peeve. One of my peeves is people who try to cut in line or the guys who are always trying to cut in at the last minute. And sometimes people just don't know the area, but many times it's people who have expensive cars or big four-wheel trucks. And it's uncanny how many of them try to cut in at the last minute. And the rest of us waited in line and waited our turn. And then the others just want to cut in line. And that's just, it's just wrong. But it's even so much more serious when you have these women and girls being trafficked and having to the sexual nature of prostitution to pay off their debt, or because they're being coerced. But what are they going to do? They're coming into the country illegally. It's not like, well, I guess you could go up to a police officer, I guess, today, but still, seriously, a lot of them are told, you know, we're following you. We know where you're going. We know where you're going to be, and we're going to collect. And we're aiding and abetting that, to use a legal term. We're aiding, and our government is aiding and abetting that because of the chaos and the disorder at our borders, in my opinion.
Well, that's a pretty good opinion. And we're going to ask you another opinion about there's going to be a place where visas and all that stuff, whether you have a visa, a passport, or whatever, you're not going to be able to get into this particular place for what I would call a long time, unless there is one visa, metaphorically, that you must I'm not going to say succumb to, but you must accept to be able to get. And we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. We have about 3 minutes left. So what I'm going to quickly do, because we talked about money earlier, Craig, and you mentioned about the different ways we can give TOT training of trainers. We talked about the Faithful Friend Fund in regards to Brian's widow, our dear friend, Ari. And Ari, thanks for the text. We appreciate it. I got the text message, and Happy New Year to you coming up. And also just the ministry in general, PCH. You know, we tell people this, and we really mean it. Don't take away from your local fellowship. Please don't take that money from there and then give to us at all. Support your local fellowship where you're growing in your most holy faith, et cetera, et cetera. And PCH, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give the information on how people can actually send those funds. I got about another 2 minutes, Ozzy. About 2 minutes. Okay, cool. I got two. I can do this in 2 minutes, Craig.
Well, sure. And Daryl, let me just say quickly.
Sure.
Whether you give to us or another, electronically and otherwise, you've got a little over an hour.
Yeah, let's take care of that. Yes.
You know, you and I are in for every legitimate tax write-off.
Yep.
To the kingdom of God, but get the tax write-off,
man,
this year.
You know what? And I'm telling you, I'm gonna have a whole system set up that in my ministry called a goal. So you're going to hear about that double ambassador and all that stuff. But here's how you can give to us. Please, I'm going to say the most important way, in my opinion, to give is by sale. Like Eric mentioned that he does that now. Thank God for Eric. And for those of you that give by Zelle, you know who you are. And if you don't know how to give by Zelle, call your bank or just Google it for your bank account. And you'll see how it saves fees right now. They don't charge us any fees to receive that money. 100% goes into where you designate, and we appreciate that. The way you could do by Zelle is simply livebyword@AOL.com is the email address. livebyword@AOL.com. Actually, it's the same email address that is used to support and donate on our website at Bible Info Brokers. If you go there and click the support and donate icon and you scroll down, it's going to be the same email address. See, it's kind of seamless. We're trying to do things simplistically, but yet intelligently, to get these ministry funds in there so we can get ministry done. You're going to give through us, not to us, because we're not getting paid yet. Not that we can't get paid. I'm going to tell you about a story about that on some other ministries we have, Living by the Word, where those people don't get paid either. And then we was calculating the money on how much they would have got, Craig. Almost a half $500,000 just by minimum wages. $500,000 could have went towards the person's Social Security if we'd have just paid them minimum wages for all the years he'd been working in ministry. And you know the person, I won't mention the name right now, but we were just talking about this last night. So there you go, folks. Support and donate at BibleInfoBrokers.com, BibleInfoBrokers.com. If you want to mail the check in, have it mailed in or whatever, it must say on the envelope, Living by the Word, or LBTW, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Make sure that the negotiable instrument has LBTW on it as well, but the envelope must have it unless the post office would not put it in our post box office number, where Sweet Eric will pick up all those checks and all those letters from you, and we'll be able to have that instrument to negotiate in the bank. P.O. Box 90477, Los Angeles 90009. We'll be back after these messages, because I hear that beautiful music in the background with more of the Bible Information Brokers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bible Information Brokers. Bible Information Brokers, the number to start calling in the Bible Information Brokers is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. This is usually normally the part of the show where we give the gospel message, and we usually ask Professor Hawkins to give us that message. Before we do that, we are in the last hour of 2023, and I want to wish it a fond farewell. But a friend of mine sent me, I don't know if I would say a poem or something interesting, that I wanted to read on the air as kind of an introduction into 2024. Gentlemen, if you don't mind, may I do that?
It's yes.
Little lengthy, but I think it's, if nothing else, it's cute. And right now we don't have any callers, so I think this would be a good time to do it. Okay?
You're the producer, brother.
All right. It goes, welcome aboard Flight 2024, ladies and gentlemen. This is Captain Emmanuel. Thank you for choosing Salvation Airline, and I assure you comfort is bestowed in John 3:16 and John 10:10. Flight 2024 will be taking off from January Airport, traveling all the way to December Airport. Please be reminded that during our flight, we will land in 12 interesting sites that comes with a total of 365 amazing days. We shall be cruising in unaccountable blessing on unaccountable blessings today at a million miles above sorrow levels. The weather may be cloudy, but grace is sufficient. There may be some turbulence, but divine intervention is certain. The Prince of Peace will speak. Please be still to your storms. The angels are our cabin crew. They will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You shall not want. Our menu includes love, joy, peace, grace, mercy, favor, and sound health, success, and prosperity. Okay, where am I? Amazingly, they are all free courtesy of Captain Emmanuel. He knows that this is a no weeping and no mourning flight. Please fasten your prayer belts. You and all your members of your family will land safely. For more information about your safety on board, please always refer to your safety manual, the Bible, on a daily basis. In Jesus, there shall be no losses. Please advertise the flight to all you know. Enjoy your flight and have a blessed 2023. For everyone.
Being
that was sent by, I hope she doesn't mind, my friend Marlene from church. So, Marlene, thank you for that.
Thank you for that, really. Especially for a guy that come out of the travel industry. I appreciate that. I wish we can have that planned throughout all airports in the world. Maybe we need to look into that. PCH, now, he gave this, sort of a, I don't know if it's a metaphoric or some kind of way that's a good lead into what this whole year should be focused upon and what our life should be focused upon. But, Craig, if they don't know the right Jesus, because we was talking about the different countries of this 1040 strip of land across our world and all the craziness is going on, is the absence of Christianity. Let folks know. the central person in our belief system?
Well, yes, the 1040 latitude.
Yes, that's window. What it is. Yeah, 1040 window, yeah.
Yeah, where the bulk of slavery in the world exists today, in Africa, Asia, Southeast Asia, and otherwise. But at any rate, Daryl, that's really... I love the or poem, whatever one wants to call that, that Eric just read.
That was nice.
But I'm going to go with the issue of, or the example of a visa. We can disagree about how that all works, but here's one thing. If you don't have a visa, well, used to be, if they caught you, you were going to be deported.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. And at any rate, here's how it does work in God's kingdom. We're all aliens. We're all foreigners. We're all estranged from God because of sin, because of our imperfections, because of sinning against God and one another. And without God's visa, none of us are getting into heaven, into his kingdom. This you can rest assured on. Whatever you want to say about our government or others, and by the way, best my knowledge, most governments in the world, you have to end it properly or they will kick you out, if not just in jail you. But seriously, to get into God's kingdom, you have to do it God's way. And you don't get in because you're not that bad or because I was pretty good, because pretty good isn't perfect. God's standard is 100% perfection. God's standard is that you to be without sin, without sins of commission or omission. And none of us lives up to that. And so the only way we can get, if I can use the metaphor, God's visa, you can't pay for it. But God gives it to those who trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they become members of the kingdom of God. This isn't some elite or right-wing club. This is all those who are sinners and realize they're imperfect and are trusting and relying upon Jesus and him himself and his work, his death, burial, and resurrection for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might have fellowship with God and one another in true peace. You know, the world talks a lot about peace, and people propose all kinds of things. And I'm going to argue they're never going to deliver. I mean, while I certainly want to end poverty and work for a lot of good social causes, you bet. But those things in and of themselves are never going to bring heaven, utopia, heaven on earth. Those are just, we're just chasing fantasies. Those are just dreams, not reality. The reality is peace and humans getting along with one another is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ himself and trusting in the Prince of Peace. Christianity says basically to be right with God, then you will need to get right with others. That is not that's what saves you, but the mark of a believer is that they will attempt to be right with others, and not that they will be perfect, but that they will have the attempt to get along with others and to live peaceably. As Paul says, live peacefully with all people as much as lies within you. You don't be the source of contention or the problem. And so Christians are to be transformed from the inside out. My friend, the bottom line is you and I, all of us are alienated from God, estranged from God, outside of the kingdom of God, and only through Jesus Christ and the visa he gives that never expires, that he paid for and paid in full and paid the penalty for our sins. And when trust in him, then one becomes a member of God's family, that one trusts in him and experiences life in that more abundantly here and now and for all of eternity. There's so many social ills in the world, in America and in other countries, and I think we ought to do all we can to eradicate them, such as children going to bed hungry or even literally starving to death. That ought not to be. But none of this is going to happen unless we enthrone Jesus Christ as the King of the world, trust in him, and let him bring his kingdom to all of us for those who've trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend, you need the visa, and that visa is only from Jesus, and he has paid it in full. You need to receive the visa that only Jesus can give, so that you will not just live and die in this life, but you will have life everlasting for all eternity. And fellowship and relationship, actually relationship first, then fellowship with God, through Jesus Christ, and then with one another. Then and only then will the kingdom of God be truly, fully, totally among all people.
Amen, and amen. Let me give the number where you can call in right now and join in any kind of question you may have before the year is up. Excuse me, the number is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number. Our Bible Info Brokers for the social media way you can send questions in to Facebook, Messenger, Truth Social, or Twitter. And also, if you want to send us an email question, I'll be checking those momentarily. You can send an email question to livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. And those are the methods you can join us on the broadcast. Pete says, when you're giving a gospel message, something came to my mind, man. I'm telling you, it raced in and raced out that fast, but it was in connection to you know, all that we've been talking about the borders and the visa and getting to heaven and only one way to get there and things like that. But another question came to my mind. Let me get this question in while Eric is answering the phone calls for the people now, so because people are calling in. I want to get this one of these questions out. And it comes from something that I'm happy our governor of California did this. And I'm reading it from here, and I want to know from a legal standpoint, also from a biblical standpoint, is it jiving together, this veto? In summary, it says there was a bill that would have required public schools to give students access to free condoms was vetoed by Governor Gavin Newsom, but young advocates worried about the rise in sexually transmitted infections are vowing to keep pushing for access. Now, my question is, not the kids or young adults who are of age in California, I think, with the sexual consent laws, whereby, you know, consenting adults, as it were, I think it's 18 out here. My concern is, could I, as a parent or as a person that have grandchildren that goes to, say, like LA Unified, for example, or whatever, Riverside Unified, and if they are passing out condoms or contraceptives, isn't that kind of supporting isn't that a policy that is supporting lawlessness or breaking of the law where children can't even legally have a consenting sex? How does that play out in the legal area? I already pretty clear on the biblical construct on that, but how would you tie that together and how would you be teaching your students in school, Craig, on this ethical matter?
Well, I do talk about ethics. Believe it or not, I try to teach attorneys to be ethical. And to understand.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
Some would say that's an oxymoron, but it is interesting, exactly, because as we talk about worldview in a class called Legal Institutions and Values, we talk about worldview, and people just don't just live. They practice it and they want to implement what they believe in. That is, laws that they believe in and laws they don't believe in, they either want to eradicate them, to have them taken off the books, or they simply just don't enforce them. So there's many laws on the books that various people or public sentiment doesn't agree with, so they're just simply not enforced. And so, as you're talking about consenting adults and having relations under 18 is illegal, for example, in the state we live in, but many would say, they're going to do it. It's almost like they treat them like, they're just animals, and animals are going to procreate. So, you know, don't get all upset about it. And they're going to do it, so let's give them condoms and birth control, and because they can't, because they won't, and they can't control themselves. And I'm going to argue that's not true, that they can't. Maybe they won't, but yeah, because we don't encourage that. And we, in fact, give a very libertine environment, even at schools and some of the things they're teaching about kids getting involved sexually at a very young age. And so it's a classic example of cross purposes where the law says one thing, but they're going to argue, well, but they're going to do it. And so out of the kindness of our hearts, we're going to give them contraceptives because we know they're going to. Oh, yeah, maybe they should. And, of course, many would say, well, no, of course they can do what they want. But the law, okay, the law says they shouldn't, but who cares what the law says? We don't care for defining it. And as long as no one's going to prosecute them, think of LA County, George Cascone. You think he's going to prosecute anybody for that? No. I mean, talk about sinful.
PC, before you get too deep into George, I'm just saying, me as an individual, what if I wanted to sue the schools myself? I mean, may I get a class action suit? Would I get enough people, whatever it takes to do that? Do I need the DA, as it were, to do that? Can I get my own attorneys and do a class action suit on anybody that would do that in, across the states?
Well, we don't want to confuse criminal versus civil.
Okay.
So those two different matters. Criminal can only be done if a DA of a county is going to prosecute. Civil is, yeah, as long as the judge doesn't throw it out, deem it as a frivolous lawsuit, if
frivolous.
You will. But people don't think that way. They don't do that. We just allow things that are immoral and contribute to this. When you basically say, well, here's a condom, and, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, you shouldn't be doing this, but you're going to. So here's a condom. So you're basically saying happy trails. We're supporting it because we're giving you a condom. We know you're going to do it. And, I mean, you reap where you reap, but we sow. We're reaping the whirlwind. Look at the illegitimate births. I just think of all the issues of kids growing up without two parents, unhealthy families, I mean, children raising children. Now, some say, well, that's why we should have abortion. Hey, how about, why don't you exercise a little self-control? You know, I'm so tired of these economics arguments. Well, you're condemning somebody to a life of poverty. Look, that's such fatalism. And furthermore, I would argue you have a choice. Yeah, don't have sexual relations outside of marriage. What a thought.
Well, I'll tell you, Craig, as the Lord leads, that is one of the things that's on my list to kind of look into about across, you know, one of those things that I'm not trying to be Mr. Big Shot about it, but I'm just trying to say I thought about this many years ago when my kids used to go to school, and I used to have my daughter say, ask this question. We talked about it. She said, I'll ask it, Daddy, I'll ask it. So I had one of those little bold children that would ask the question, how can you guys pass these things or tell us to use these things, and it's against the law for me to even have sex before I'm 18 years old?
Yeah, we have all these inconsistencies. Look at, for example, still the federal law is marijuana is illegal, but mm-hmm. California and many states have legalized it. So if the feds wanted to go after you, they could. Look at this. A gal can abort the baby, even in many places, right up to literally to term, right? The baby's about to be born. As long as they don't pull the head out and they kill the baby right then and there, they can do that. But if she should be shot, let's say, and the baby expires, the baby dies, then that person can be charged with murder.
Double homicide.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with the latter, but it's totally inconsistent with if the mother does it, it's okay. But if somebody else does it, they can't do that. We have all these inconsistencies. To me, one of the most egregious ones right now is many places you can't even get an aspirin without parental permission. Mm-hmm. But they're allowing them and encouraging them to have life-altering surgeries and or hormones or either supplying them or trying to take deprive their bodies of that so they don't go into puberty.
Yeah, these blockers. These blockers.
Doing
yeah.
that, yeah, and it's bigoted. We can't tell the parents. If your parents don't agree, well, we can't tell your parents. We know it's best for you. I mean, so these double standards of what you're talking about, I mean, they're commonplace. I'm not saying that makes it okay, but the law is filled with this type of stuff.
Yep. Well, we're getting filled with his telephone calls, Craig. So, folks, if you want to join JR and Joy, you can call us at 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. Bible Info Brokers for the social media questions, Facebook, Truth Social, Messenger, and Twitter. And if you want to send us an email question, it's livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. PCA, you about to say something? I heard you kind of breathe there a little bit.
No.
Okay. Let's go to Joy, our dear friend Joy in Costa Mesa. Joy, how you doing, sweetheart? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much. Happy, blessed, God bless you, New Year to both, all of you.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank you. And you're leaving tomorrow. I didn't realize that, Professor. And you're still on today. That's amazing. All
well,
of
that's,
you
no,
being
no,
here.
I'll be up for most of the whole night trying to finish
getting
ready to go.
What's that?
I'll be up most of the night trying to finish
yeah,
everything,
everything.
Oh, my goodness. And the fact that you're doing it New Year's Eve. God bless you all. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Soldiers.
Well, I heard a great New Year's Eve message, and the end of it was the theme for this year is ready. Be ready. From Matthew 24:44. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And I thought that poem that Eric read was so good. So good.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. My question is, what does it really mean to glorify God? And when Jesus said in John 12, you know, Father, glorify your name, and then the Father spoke back and said, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. When Jesus died and rose again, was his death bringing the glory or the resurrection or both together?
Well, I, these are great questions, Julie. I think there's a number of ways to kind of slice this apple, if you mm-hmm. will. I would say all the above. I mean, God will be glorified one way or the other because that's who he is. That's his nature. But I would argue when we give glory to God, is what that means is first of all, just being made in God's image brings glory. Because you look at humans and the things we can do. I mean, as I get older, I have more and more health issues, and arthritis in particular. But still, the human body is just incredibly complicated and intricate, and the things we're able to do. And you think of all the talk of AI lately, of artificial intelligence, but you think of the innate intelligence that even an average intelligent person has. It's just phenomenal. And I believe that speaks and sings metaphorically of the glory of God. But in a primary sense, of the many meanings of the word to glorify, or glorify God, it's we give God credit for who he is. We acknowledge his sovereignty, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his grandeur, I mean, his beauty, his holiness. We acknowledge, to glorify is to give credit, is to acknowledge who he is. I mean, what is sacrilege? Sacrilege is to treat something that is glorious, that is holy, and treat it as profane, as unclean. And so to glorify is the exact opposite of sacrilege, or to desecrate something. That's the exact opposite. We glorify God by acknowledging who he is and that he deserves praise and honor and glory. We give God glory by the way we live. When people live a godly life, they're giving glory to God, and they're showing that they fear God, fearing God, not in the sense of being phobic or like in the sense of, well, it's the word I want, kind of neurotic or a form of neuroses, but fear in the sense of healthy respect, of acknowledging God and fearing God, that he's not to be trifled with. The idea you can get over on God or get something past him is ludicrous. So we glorify him by speaking the truth about him, by living truth, and again, singing his praises metaphorically and literally of who he is and what he's done. And that's the beauty. I think sometimes, well, even as Christians, but I've certainly hear this with non-Christians. It's kind of like, well, you better be nice to God, or you better say good things about him, because he's kind of an ogre. He kind of gets upset, and he'll get upset at you, maybe take it out on you if you don't give him, say the things about him that he wants to hear. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It's God is so glorious, and I think that most of us, when we get to heaven, I think our mouths going to be wide open for about a couple millennia when we see who God really is and how glorious he is and how shamefully we've treated him and not acknowledged who he is and live in light of that truth. I mean, this stuff kind of pumps me up because thinking of, you know, someday standing in the presence of God and the what we call the beatific vision, seeing God in his unmitigated glory and realizing how resplendent, how awesome, literally, I don't mean that in a trite sense, but in the most profound sense, how awesome God is. That to me, and more, is giving God glory, is glorifying God.
Let me say it this way, Joy, and
that is
Professor.
So excellent. Thank you.
I'm going to say it this way. Being my black side, not my Irish or Scottish side, PCH, unless I was a slave back in those days. But since I'm in America, I'm a black guy in America. When God said in his word that he so loved the world that he died for me in the person of Jesus Christ. Anybody that would die for me, they get all my glory. They get all, everything I can give them to glorify them. Anything, somebody's going to die for me, for real, they got it. I'm their slave. I'm their slave.
I love it.
That's it.
Oh, that helps me so much. That's really both those answers. That's perfect. And you said one word, Professor. I didn't get it. Deistic? I don't know. I should have. Some one word in your saying something. Deistic? Did you say the word deistic?
I don't think I said that. I think I was contrasting glorifying God with sacrilege or to desecrate. I believe is the word I used. To desecrate something. Yes. Is to take something that is holy and treat it profanely. And I think Daryl's point is well taken. But it's not just that he would die for me. It's that it's who he is. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate being of the universe who is willing to die for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the nobleness, part of the grandeur of an act is not just what's done, but who does it.
Yes.
And it's one thing if a person is kind of a pauper or doesn't have any social economic status does something kind to someone, not that we shouldn't appreciate it, and it isn't still a good work, but when someone who is a king or a prince or a queen or princess does it and shows humility and condescends and treats somebody their needs above their own, that's beyond magnanimous.
Yes.
I mean, these words to fail us, that's just something that's exquisite when a person is a so-called nobility, and they do show kindness to someone who is not of their social economic status. That is
beautiful.
That's wondrous. Beautiful. And that is just a smidgen of a glimpse of the character and nature of God.
Amen and amen.
Oh, that helps me so much. You just don't know. I've always wondered, what does that really mean? So thank you. And when Jesus said, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour, Father, glorify your name, he's saying, Father, glorify your name, like just...
He is glorified by showing the, as Peter talks about in Acts 2, about the manifold and eternal wisdom of God that through the crucifixion, through that, it's interesting, Paul uses the word scandalon, the scandal of the cross. God uses the scandal of the cross to bring glory to himself, showing the wisdom and his magnanimous nature that he redeems us even through the disgrace of the cross. So I would argue it's glorify yourself. Jesus, God ultimately is glorified because Jesus rises from the dead, which is something that most of us, and I'm being facetious, none of us can do. That's pretty glorious.
Amen.
That's wonderful. Thank
excellent
you
call.
So much. I'm going to pray for your trip, Professor. God bless you.
Thank you, Joy.
I really appreciate that, Joy.
Appreciate it, Joy.
You know, Daryl, quickly, I think of Hebrews 1:3, Hos on apagasma tes doxes kai character tes hupostaseo autu, who Christ, who being the effulgence, the radiance of God's glory. This apagasma is this incredible word, this effulgence, this glory, this outshining. It's brighter than a million suns. And that's in Christ. That's in God. And God who dwells as Paul says in Timothy, who dwells in unapproachable light. It's not because there's a law that says, thou shalt not approach God. I mean, that's trivial. It's banal. It's you can't approach God in human flesh because you couldn't survive, because his glory is so, the effulgence, the essence of his glory is so powerful that no mere human can see God in his complete, total, unmitigated glory and live.
You know, PC, I was going to read this in the Greek, but since Brian's not here and Dr. Black is not listening probably right now, I don't want to show off, but I'm going to just read John 17, 4 and 5 in just regular English. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it in King James English. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the works which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, Dr. Black, if you were listening, I would have done that in Greek 101, but I don't want to show off PCH. But that, when you talk about when Joey asked that question about glorify and glory, That's that double glory right there. Jesus glorified God on earth, and he's asking them to receive that glory that he had with them before the world was. And that's the kind of stuff that I just want to sit back and talk about, meditate upon and just think about and just get filled. Just get filled. Wow, 888, I'm filled already. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Please call in. Well, wow, we only have about 24 minutes left on the broadcast, hey. PCH. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, Darrell, if I could. And so people have 24 minutes to go
oh, yeah.
to donate,
yeah, yes.
whether it's to our ministry.
Somewhere.
Ministry the good Lord's given us, or any ministry you believe in. Like I said, my wife and I, in addition to our regular giving throughout the year, we sent some checks out, but also we donated online, did our last one just earlier tonight. So people literally have, what, let's just say 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
They can still donate and going online. And by the way, it's important. I think we mentioned to people, you mentioned Zelle, because we love it, because people can give electronically
mm-hmm.
and not be charged a fee, at least not yet. But that, by the way, that's Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, Zelle.
Yes, sir.
Pronounce say that, or more importantly, that's how you spell that. And most banks have that service. You may have never heard of it, but
check it out.
You can go on that, or you can just go online. Many ministries have online giving. It's all set up and safe and secure. But, you know, Darrell, I mean, our goal isn't just to help people get a tax break, although it doesn't
No, that's smart, man. That's smart. Pay less taxes. More money to get.
Wise as serpents, yeah. harmless as dust.
Yes, sir.
Right? But because we believe in the kingdom of God and the advancement, and frankly, bluntly put, it takes funds.
Yes, sir.
I like to say it's we don't need any money. It's God's kingdom, but that's how things get done. That's the use of funds. It's not merely funds. It's like our dear brother Ron Jeet helping to support him and other pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, Bible translators. It's advancing the kingdom of God through your time, talent, and treasures. It's not just talking about it. It's not just hoping for it. It's not just wishing it or even praying it. Now, again, if someone doesn't have the funds, look, praying is vital. I mean, I'm not downplaying prayer. We've often said, and in all seriousness, if people can't give, it's okay. We'll take your prayers. We covet your
mm-hmm.
prayers. We'll take the funds that you want to give through the ministry. But we covet your prayers, because without prayer, nothing's getting done. This is the kingdom of God. This isn't. We're not selling widgets or, you know, hamburgers or tacos or something here. as much as we like those things.
Hey, don't knock that. I'm going to mention that for a moment. Go ahead.
but I mean, we don't have a product or service.
Exactly, exactly.
It's the gospel is to help advance the kingdom of God, and that's done in very mundane and banal senses of time, talent, treasure, of giving funds, of giving
yes.
of your time, of giving of your talents to advance the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's all that matters.
Yes.
Because everything else is going to perish. Everything else is going to fade into oblivion, into insignificance. All the accomplishments, I think of John, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of man of what he has and what he does. Oh, I did this, I accomplished that, mm-hmm. or I own this or that. In the light of eternity, those things don't matter.
All
they
temporary. All temporary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What matters is the kingdom of God and investing in his kingdom, which is to invest in people.
Indeed. You know what, PCA, since you said that, let me tell the people how they can actually give through us right now. Then I'm going to mention something mm-hmm. else, and we're going to go back to the phone calls because we are running out of time. I'm glad you did that, man, because this is the last few hours you can give where you get the credit as far as that on this side of the the year, as it were. So you got to give it in before midnight and send it to P.O. Box 90477 if you're going to mail it out. If you mail it out today, we can give you that credit for it because that you know what, when I say mail it out today, if you just well that's tricky. I don't want to say I'm not too familiar how that works. Anyway, if we get it, we're going to give you credit for it. So P.O. Box 90477, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. If you want to mail it out, make sure that the envelope says LBTW, or spell it out, live by word, or living by the word, I should say. And then mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. I'm talking fast because I want to get back to what Craig said, that Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. Check with your bank. Just Google that. It's about 5 seconds or 5 minutes. You can have that thing already set up. And the Zelle at address is liveByWord@AOL.com. Same thing you send our emails to, email questions. It's the same email address you can use for Zelle, liveByWord@AOL.com. If you go online to Bible Info Brokers, you click that support and donate icon, and they give you simple instructions. You can follow those instructions to give as much or as little as you want. But you know what? Think about the generous giving it towards this end of the year, and also the wisdom in paying less taxes to have more to give. How about that? Now, Craig, I need to say this one more thing, that I've actually set up, and you're just learning about it, but I've actually have set up an auction for those big time folks that got some big money for the Lord, and you like to take trips and you like things like Super Bowl tickets and stuff like that. If you go to our website, not our website, but if you go to Facebook page at Bible Info Brokers, and you scroll down and you press the thing where you see an auction there, and it says auction for items for the end of the year, and the auction is actually closing on the 2nd. But if you just say you want to buy now, and you got the kind of money that you want to give, like, say, for example, Craig, you like football. So here's an example. A football ticket or two tickets to the NFL with all kind of special bells and whistles and travel benefits and all that type of stuff that comes included. You can just read it. Go to Facebook and scroll down right past day number. I think it's like about a week ago I posted this. And it says $22,000, Craig, for a Super Bowl ticket. But that $22,000 out of that, the ministry gets 40% of that $22,000, and you get a discount from what those tickets actually cost. That's two tickets to the Super Bowl as an example. They got a lot of other stuff in there you can look at as far as bidding on, but I don't like people to outbid each other. So if you want to just buy it straight up, just click down, buy now, and we're going to be setting up things like this in the future with some beautiful trips and things for you to save money, because people are already spending their money on trips, Craig. So if they can save their money by doing it through us, then we'll get a large percentage of whatever you spend and you saving. So that's sort of a win-win situation. And there's a way we can be tax deductible with that, but you have to kind of email me, because it's getting to the skill part of it. You have to have a skill to be able to get a tax deduction on things like raffles that religious organizations can do. And we'll talk more about that next year. But right now, the last second thing, you want to go to Super Bowl? Give up that $22,000 PCH and we get 40% of that. How about that? Hey, this is the last minute, babe. I'm trying to get it in there. So check it out on our Facebook page at Bible Info Brokers on Facebook. Now, what else do we have to do? I already did all that. Don't forget to check out the website. Go see Sal, as we said. Remember Cal? Go see Cal. No, go see our Sal about a Bible study that you can see the information right there on our website, Bible Info Brokers, BibleInfoBrokers.com. PCH, real quickly, talk about – oh, no, you're not going to be here Wednesday, so I'm not going to have you talk about that now. But is that sort of like an archive show? Is somebody going to be taking your place for the Wednesday Bible stuff?
It's already been taken care of.
Okay, you want to mention it? Go ahead, mention it. Don't let people hanging. I mean, it ain't your channel. Sure. It's his channel.
Thank you.
It ain't yours.
His channel, literally, HIS channel, no hyphens, no space, hischannel.com, internet TV. And they can listen on Wednesdays to today's Bible questions, or attempt to answer people's questions that they've not that they've faxed in, but that
they've just about to say that.
That's so funny. I keep saying facts. Yeah, that shows you how old I am.
I don't believe that long.
But yeah, if you have other questions you want to ask, you can text them to the number that's for the program, and you'll go to today's Bible questions, and then we attempt to answer them. My part of that is on Wednesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock Pacific time. So there you go.
Well, let me give them a number. How about the number where they cannot fax, but you can send a text question at 714-815-7097. I believe that's still the number, 714-815-7097. Now, Craig, I'm going to mention this and just kind of put us both on blast a little bit. You're going to Cambodia, right? We're going to try to attempt to have our show next week while you're out there. Maybe we can work it out. Maybe we can't. But I just want people to pray about that. That's something specifically I want them to pray for, that the Lord will work it out some kind of way where we can have a live show with PCH out there in Cambodia. I'm already excited thinking about it. I may even join you in Thailand. Who knows? Eric won't come, but I can get there for a little or no money. You know me. So there you go, folks. Pray about that. PCH, how about we take a couple of more calls, because that's going to be the end of the show coming up. Let's talk to our dear friend who I wonder if he's on decaf tonight, but we'll find out. JR, my man from L.A., how you doing, brother?
Ooh.
he said, ooh.
I'm awake.
There you go. Why? Why are you awake?
well, half decaf, half regular now.
Oh, okay. Good man. Good man. Talk to me. What's your question, baby?
Okay. Ooh, quick question here in the new Honda Odyssey van, live and direct. we're curious about what's the scripture that the professor can set us straight on in the New Testament where it says, entertaining angels aware or unaware? Please, thank you. Correct context, context, context.
Well, I can tell you it's unaware. It's not aware. If you're aware of it, it'll be an interesting situation. But PCA's taking it from there. Oh, I had a good joke for that, but I don't want to offend anybody with the angel and the ghost type stuff. But go ahead. Go ahead, PCH.
Well, yeah. And in fact, people think I use a computer, and I don't actually, so I don't have the concordance in front of me. So I know the verse. I mean, I don't remember the exact address, but yeah, you are correct. It's people entertaining angels unaware. And I can't for the life of me think of the passage right now.
I'll find
now,
it right quick. But go ahead, PCH.
But I bet Daryl can find it.
I'm going to try. Let me see. Let's see. I'm still looking. Go ahead. Talk about it, though.
Well, yeah, but it's a point we ought to always treat people well, period. Not just because it might be an angel, but because they're made in God's image. I might be a child of the devil, for that matter. But people are made in God's image, and we should show respect to people because of their inherent dignity as being a human. I mean, you don't have to make them your best friend. Doesn't mean you have to hang out with them or what have you, but we should treat people respectfully and civilly. And that I would argue extends to all people.
Is that anything to do with judging an angel's PCH as I'm still looking it up? Has it anything to do with, what is it, Eric? Hebrews 13. Well, speak up, brother. You're part of the team. Hebrews 13.
I didn't have the address. There you go.
There we go.
GR, always good to hear from you. By the way, I'm curious, not that you have to answer, why the question? Why that question?
Yeah, why that question?
It's been a while. Well, one of my favorite bands is the Christian rock group, the Newsboys, that they have a video that it's called Entertaining Angels, and they do a pretty good job about showing how, you know, it's next to a TV light, and you know that it could look like a human being or a homeless man or woman, but you know they don't want to offend or insult a homeless people on the street. So it could be an undercover angel, just near them, but they were unaware. And it's just one of my favorite songs, of all time from that music. They're doing the flashback countdowns from, all the Christian music and some of the stations. So I think that was one of them that made it in there.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, JR, man. Go ahead, PCH.
No, I'm just saying thank you, JR. I appreciate that.
And, man, Happy New Year to you too, brother.
You know, my parents, they say hi, and it's just my wife and I are glad and happy that we're able to tune in the Honda Odyssey van, because we do have laundry to market and things, and we're just looking forward to 24, and I've been telling her how ever since I met you guys have been an older, or wiser, I should say, an inspiration and encouraged motivation, as your little bro in Christ here continues to learn the Spanish, the English scriptures, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, and, I have a little fast, quick voice impersonation that I've been practicing for this week,
Man, we thank you for being a young soldier, brother, since we've known you, man, and soldiering up. We really appreciate you. I know,
man.
We do.
God is good.
Yes, we appreciate you, and say hi to you, to your parents as well. Thanks, my friend.
Oh, yeah. God bless you, man. God bless. PCH, we're going to take the last caller of the night, then we're going to close up, and we're going to talk to Ann from Los Angeles, and Bring her on. And you will be the last caller of the year for us, and we thank you for calling in.
Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, God, for letting me be the wrap-up. Oh, and Eric, I'm just going to say it. You're one of the boys. You know what we talked about online. Yeah, there's three people on that team.
This sounds like a setup thing. This sounds like a setup.
No. No. Because I said something, and then my heart went, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I don't want to be. Nah.
I promise it was not a setup. She's just speaking real.
I'm in the real. PCH, I need a second opinion. PCH, what do you think? You think it's a little setup in here? A little something going on? A little plagiarism? No, nepotism going on? But, Ann, what's your question for the night, sweetheart? We appreciate your call.
My question is concerning communion wine and even the blessing oil that you anoint people with. Okay, who blesses that? Is that a person in the pastorate, or can a person, or can just I, being filled with the Holy Spirit, bless it? And yeah, that's a basic question. How does that get blessed?
I like that question, man. I'm interested in PCH's answer.
Yes. Well, typically, if we're talking Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, who does that more than Protestants, it would be, they would say it's done by a priest. However, I would argue that the blessing could be done, just like baptism could be done by any believer. You can bless it, and that, and God, I believe, honors that because you're a child of God. We are kings and priests to our Lord, so we look at, you know, 2 Peter 2:9 and Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 6, and others. We are kings and priests, and we have a ministry. And so we can bless has a number of different meanings, but here we're talking about something that's blessed in the sense of it's been prayed over, and we treat it as holy. And I'm going to argue you can do that, Anne, as a believer.
Okay.
I would agree with that as well. Yes, indeed. And so get that oil together. You know, Craig, let me ask a question about the oil, though, just to extend it a little bit, because they say that, let's say if Ann blesses the oil, as it were, I'm just going to use that as an example, but they said it would give it to the elders of the church to, you know, and go from there, PCH, on that. Is that, I don't want to be misogynistic, because I'm not setting my point. I just want to make sure that if we're going to do this and there's some kind of order to it, would it have to be the elders of the church, or would it be okay for, like, the mothers of the church, or the elders, or the deaconesses, or something like that of the church? How about that, PCH?
Well, sure, but you're talking about James 5, but it does say that they should, if some any of you sick, you know, let them call for the elders and to pray over them and anoint them with oil. But I just want to be clear, and I don't think Anne has this problem, but I think that for the rest of our listeners, we're not saying somehow oil or water or what have you has a magical power.
Right.
But we're saying it's consecrated, which means it's dedicated to God. We were talking with Joy earlier about glorifying God. It's consecrated to God. And so, but James isn't saying only elders could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, I would argue all members, any legitimate child of God, someone who's trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they can and should pray over not just blessing of oil or water, but holy water, in quotes, but I would argue praying over others, just like I believe any legitimate believer can baptize another believer.
Yes,
it's typically
indeed.
Done by a pastor, but it doesn't have to be done by a pastor or slash elder.
I just want to throw that out there because I can almost see in my little mind's eye that people may be, you know, dealing with that or asking that question. So I just wanted to add to it and Joy, you know, kind of started off. And I really appreciate it because it's sort of like a follow through with Joy's question about the glory of God and stuff like that. But
it was a good question.
Excellent question. And thank you for, you know, nepotizing Eric. And I know you guys were in cahoots. It's all good. And we're going to go ahead and close the broadcast and get you off the line. But I love you and appreciate you now.
I see.
Take care, Ann. God bless now. Thank you. AP says, you know, I think I have a little bit too much power, you know, too much power in this one little finger to click people off like that. Now I know why Eric had cut you off in the beginning. He was establishing his power in this team. Come on in, Eric. You got something to say about that? Come on in and join in the program because we have about 5 minutes left and everybody's going to get a closing statement. Eric, you're going to be able to close first.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither do I. Neither do I. So hold on. Wait a minute. You can close first, Eric. We can get out of here.
I have no. I just want to just wish everyone a blessed New Year, prosperous, and a spiritual New Year, actually, and just be safe,
yes.
Everyone. And I want to just add Ephesians 4:32 to please be kind and compassionate,
amen,
to one another.
Thank you, brother. PCH, we have about 5 minutes, 6 minutes left. Yes.
Well, so, I can't resist. I can't resist. I know it's been said probably a billion times, but we're going to be off the air for a year.
Oh, Lord. I'm glad you said it.
but we are planning on coming back by the grace of God. I want to say what we always say. Nothing's changed. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good, which we're told about. Dokimazo, the Greek word, is to approve, is to test, is to examine it. In Thessalonians 5, test all things. And that includes, we would admit, even what we say. Indeed. The gold standard, if you can talk investments, especially eternal investments, eternal retirement, well, the gold investment is the Bible, is God's word, and what God says in context. And so we challenge, we encourage people to test what we say, even what your favorite pastor says, what any alleged teacher, preacher, and well, any person, period, test it by the word of God. Test it by God's standard, because that's the standard. You might as well get used to it, by which God will judge everything, and we'll all be judged at the Bema seat, as we're told about in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We'll all be judged, not for our salvation, that's a gift from God, but for the time, talent, and treasure, how we lived our life. You know, run the race, as clearly the author of Hebrews does say, not only you might entertain angels unaware, but run the race with patience that's marked out before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, right, endured the cross, despising its shame. But he did that joyously for us. He suffered for us. And live in light of eternity, because I tell you, you know, Daryl, every year we have more and more friends pass away.
Yes, sir.
And it's just a reminder that death cometh for all of us. Think of, again, of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time for birth and there's a time for our death. And God ordained both. And we want to, as the old saying goes, is what matters is what's in between those two dates. That's what matters. Live in light of eternity. Live for God.
Man, I tell you, PCH, just the beauty of being able to do ministry for another year, man, with you guys and, you know, miss our dear buddy Brian, of course. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, I was just thinking about that. And my wife gets, you know, she almost gets tired of me saying, hey, well, if I go first, I keep asking the Lord to let me go first before her, because she got all these things and she's kind of like left-handed. And so if I have to give things away, it's going to, you know, it's too much stuff to give away. And see, me going first, it's not that much to give away. I'm not, you know, I don't get as much things as she get. But, I mean, that's okay with us because I like it like that. I like to see her with nice, beautiful things. But one thing that she does do is she reminds me constantly how privileged we are to be able to give, not only to our help family members out, friends out, but also to give the various ministries that we do care about. And we talked about that in the beginning. And with the last few seconds that I have left this year to be able to talk to you folks, Craig mentioned your time, your talent, your treasure. Just imagine that you are indeed getting a revelation, getting wow moment that you are not the owner of the things that you have. Believer, if you are indeed a believer and you love the Lord, all that you have is God's. The little that you have or the much that you have, it's God's. If, I know you may be a little afraid of IRS, some folks are, and I guess most folks get a little nervous, but God, don't be afraid to ask God what he would have you to do with the things that he entrusted you with your time, your talent, and your treasure. please honor the Lord that saved your wretched soul, like mine and everybody else on our team's wretched soul. Be a good steward of all that he's given you. Please, please, please forget New Year's resolutions. If you make one to honor God first with the first fruits. Do God right. Don't give him a bad tip. Don't tip him at all. Honor him. Glorify him. Consecrate time to spend with him just like you would a relationship with your family members, your spouse, or people significant in your life. So on behalf of the whole team, my name is Daryl Easy D. Folks, and I am Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying the Lord bless us, come back. We'll see you next year with more of the Bible Information Brokers. God bless.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.